Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you for joining us in another session of The Consciousness Shift today with Nicole Tomasini, my co-host in New York City. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen.
How you doing?
All right.
We're going to open up, and we have a guest with us today, Jeffrey Evelyn, and he's my neighbor. And we're going to open with something from the street, okay? Shows you what community is capable of, but I don't need to tell a New York City woman that, especially one who sings herself.
Yeah, man, anything to brighten people's day while you're walking through your life.
There you go. There you go. Today, I thought we would give the topic of making it positive, transmutation of the negative, something to talk about today. What do you think?
Great. It follows right up with what we talked about on Spirit Therapy on Monday, the force and the dark side. So it's cool.
Yeah, I was listening to you all talk about, especially about fairies. I'm like, okay, I know when to shut it up. Ike's over here saying, oh, really? Turn that up a little bit. That's okay. I don't need my bench help giving me crap for a week.
Because, Jeffrey, we were talking about fairies, how they can be all different shapes and sizes and intentions. And, you know, some are mischievous and some are, you know, will brighten your day. But, you know, they're an entity like anything.
Mischievous.
Yep.
It's funny. Nowhere that my sister lives has there ever not been a fairy ring pop up in the grass or outside, even with mushrooms, wherever she's lived or stayed for a long time. And I'd say she was crawling with brownies. Go ahead.
I think I have a fairy right now because my plug has just come out twice since we've been talking about that. I was like,
I told you, I don't screw crap. Not the first retrograde. Not on a bit.
Funny. So protection is the right thing to talk about. So go on.
Well, you know, Jeff came in today and beautifully brought me lunch. What a nice treat that was. And he was saying, do you believe what's going on and out there in the world? And it looks like we're getting ready to be badasses on the block again as America and la 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 and Ukraine and everything else that's going on. It's just, I don't want, I think what you say, I just don't watch the news anymore.
No, it's the news is too depressing in the morning, everything. You hear kids killing other kids, and you hear teachers doing things to kids that they shouldn't do. You hear now they want to go back into Iraq and all this, and people are trying to get out, and you have all those young little kids coming from, you know, that are all in our holding tanks and Texas, and they left without their parents just to get out of horribleness, and we don't even really know what the horribleness is.
Well, Mexico.
That they're running for their lives. I mean, for you to leave your parents, it had to be bad. Yeah. I mean, little kids. I mean, I think a 15-year-old's a little kid to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where we're going, and I don't know what we're gonna do, but.
And you know, the crazy thing is, Nick, Jeff doesn't even keep a computer.
No, I'm very anti-computer, anti. I try to stay away from the world. And I'm a hairdresser, so there you go. You know?
Well, I think these things on the news, they can definitely make you either lose hope or think that things in general are worse than they really are. Not to say that these things are not bad, but I think everything's going on, and I think that's part of the agenda behind filtering all of this news, only showing a lot of the bad things, is so people go, oh, wow, everything's fucked up, fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But little kids leaving their homes and their parents, that scares me most of all, because they don't know where they're going. You know, it's not like we're running away when we were little kids down the street with our little hobo bags. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're going across countries.
Wow. Well, the kids these days are definitely different. You know, I think if they're taking that endeavor on, they must have some sort of head on their shoulders. And who really knows, no matter what age you are, when you step out the door, right?
That's true.
That's true.
On your show, you're talking about the dark side. And from my perspective, it's always about the shamanic walk. And peering into that darkness is how we really find our own special light or gifts and talents, by transmuting it. And I think now we're being asked to do it for a whole planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not just feeling good for you. When you go outside and you smile at the old bitch who yelled at you across the street, you know, you're transmuting her day into something better, because you're saying, well, that's okay, but I can rise above that.
Mm-hmm.
I can say, we'll put a little sunshine over there instead of the clouds, you know, and it always holds true. You just never know whose angel you're going to be that day when you walk out the door.
Yeah, change the whole thing around.
Yeah, you did.
You really do. And it's more important than ever to do that. What are some of the tools that we have to work with that help us to get to that place where we're able to say, okay, my world is going to be through this lens and not that one?
Well, I think one is to not worry about what other people are thinking and feeling, especially if you already know that you are a loving being and you want only good for people. I mean, you know, if that's what you are, that's what you are, and that's what you're always going to choose when given the choice. So when those people don't really care what other people think and feel and their reactions, then you can really change it around, because you're not going into where they are. You're setting a certain standard for light, really.
Yeah.
So
it's the challenge to shift the paradigm, to make it new. And scrambled into this whole bucket of what's going on planet Earth right now, Jeff, you even told me in my own life, it's the little tiny steps that you're not paying attention to that are really the long version and where you're getting to. I think when we apply that to a planet on a planetary level, we can see, I mean, we had an Arab Spring. We've got, did you see that Tesla has absolutely opened all of its patents to the electric car, to anybody who wants to manufacture? Have you ever heard of a corporation that makes that kind of money doing such a thing?
No.
Wow.
It's a paradigm shifting event, and it happened this week.
Wow.
It's amazing. So that's just one example, but there's plenty of them out there. And of course, if you're hooked into Facebook, you get to see several. I mean, really, you got to pick them out of there. Mm-hmm. Amongst all the bullshit that's going down about who hit who and who's, I you know, it's, you have to be, especially if you're an activist, you're going to keep yourself aware. But it's like Cherie Foytlin, you know, this weekend she's out there, and everybody should be aware of this one. They got the walk down here going on in the southeast against tar sands with the indigenous communities, and everybody's taking part. It's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, while we've still got Louisiana. And with the Sable pipeline coming, the Sable Palm pipeline coming through our Everglades, while we've still got a Florida to work with, you know. You have to pick out all the good stuff and put it in the front and say, okay, that crap's going on, but what are the possibilities that something really fine is happening in the background there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit. You're a perfect example. You went into work and using the dragon's blood to keep the negativity away.
It shifted.
And
wearing black.
Yeah, wearing black.
Works them off too.
Yeah, it does. It deflects.
It, really
it deflects the energy from sticking. Yes,
mm-hmm.
It does. White can do the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow. What was your experience with working with the dragon's blood?
Things have just. Well, it's a long story, but. You know, I'm a hairdresser, so I'm in a very big salon. We have 24 hairdressers, so it's a huge place. And there's a lot of negativity, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of he said, she said, you know, not just getting to business, you know, stuff. And it's really actually, it's calmed it out a lot. It's it seems like it's not as reflected to me, if that makes sense. It, I feel safer. And plus, I'm also just realizing that I have to not worry about what they say and what they're doing. I have to kind of be a better person.
Yeah, that's like what Gwen was saying a minute ago about we have to step into the darkness so we really can see our own light and see what our strengths are. And I think that's really what we're being tested to do here, not only what's going on in the world, but also what's going on in our living situation, whatever that may be, you know, to really make, in the beginning, I think the harder choice, but at the end of the day, it's really the easier choice, because once you get on that standard of, okay, I've decided I don't let these things bother me, and I don't, you know, these things don't stick to me. And then you use the tools that are around you. I mean, what else can you do? It's great.
No, it doesn't. It bounces off a lot.
Yeah.
And it actually gets them a little unnerving. You know,
sure.
Which is always good too, but, you know.
Shake up the pot.
Yeah, just a tad. And things come back, you know, things turn around. Incidences that happened a month ago turn totally around, and the person that did it is actually shown, you know, everybody sees what that person really is.
Wow.
And so it is, it's a good thing. And it also, you know, makes you think more. Her oils and being with Gwen, with the stuff that I've learned with her, has actually changed, you know, like the way I think and the way I want to be and to be a better person.
Wow.
Oh.
That's beautiful.
And it's hard.
Yeah, one of my favorite that I have taken to wearing when I go out in social situations is the Mahatma Katumi, which every time I go to put it on, I just think, do no harm, be kind. Be kind to all. Just everything's fine, so be kind.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good.
Because it's words can hurt just as much as a fist.
Yeah.
Words hurt more often than fists do.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. And people forget how magical words are.
Yeah.
Was it Abraham that we were talking about a few weeks ago, only talk about what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Create your world with the gift of imagination just by talking about what you, it's just like, I wish it's that I am going to do this, this, and this, you know?
Yeah, flip the script into, all right, I don't want this, so what do you want? And then you're going that way.
That's quite true. These are all common sense applications, but still common sense is really kind of in short measure these days, it seems.
Well, we got.
Yeah, we do. And you got to remember, we've got a wonderful Mercurial retrograde. I swear to God, it's I still say we hire a couple of cosmic shit kickers to take him out back.
A couple of wolves to clean it up. Oh, that's funny. Well, I've come to learn about, you know, being a Mercury retrograde baby and then having to deal with Mercury retrogrades a few times a year, just like everybody else on this planet. It's been one of my missions to really be able to understand and work with the Mercury retrograde energy, because it can't just be there to be this annoying thing three times a year.
But you got to remember, too, for those of us who may be always catching up on our bills or something like that, when a Mercury retrograde is in effect, the hammer comes down in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have time while that motion is going on to stop it from hitting the ground, type of thing.
Right.
Mercury retrograde offers a lot of, you just, as you say, you got to learn to work it. When you get bad news during a Mercury retrograde, especially in communications or finances or anything like that, you've got to say, wait a minute, hold your horses here. Let me just wait it out another couple of weeks and see how that turns around.
Yeah.
You know, the common sense application.
Yeah, it gives you some like holding time. And also I think of it as a forced but paid cosmic vacation for 3 weeks. Listen, just take some time. Go home and think about yourself. Relax yourself, you know, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, we were speaking, I guess it was, a couple of months ago when we were working towards doing the explanations of the light body and the chakra systems. And we're talking about the root chakra, the base chakra, and how that's the place we begin with. I think that, you know, to ground ourselves to the planet, give us a anchor and begin to work with our chakras. Right now, I think one of the most important chakra centers is the heart, because so much of what is going on out there in the global reach is more about people's heart centers being way out, either way centered or way off. I mean, there just doesn't seem to be too much in between. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it in the way the news is delivered. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're listening to the MSM, which I don't really do. I listen to local once in a while, but I'm reading it. I'm guilty of reading the news.
It's hard not to.
Well, right. You want to know what's going on in the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you approach it with a specific sort of attitude. You know, okay, this is happening. I'm ready. Embrace me. Let me log on to Facebook.
Yeah, and that's protection right there. I mean, to put yourself, you know, shield yourself, know what you're going into. I mean, the minute you turn on that internet, you know, to do a shielding and go, okay, you know, I'm over here. Everything is fine. Whatever I see is what I see. I'm looking to see just to see, not to disrupt anything or whatever, you know.
I have to cop to the fact that I got angry. I saw where what's going on in Iraq and Syria has been, you know, insurgent Iraq and Iraqi insurgents and Syrian insurgents, and they've given it an acronym that just got me so angry. And I thought, oh, Goddess Isis is just going to have a fit with this. And then I thought about it, and I thought, but that's placing the name of Isis into prominence in the world communication scam. And what does that mean? It means something. Really, it does. And so I pondered it all day long. There's a positive side to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, it has to be.
Well.
Yeah. Wow, that's very interesting.
Did you see that? Did you see where the acronym for this, what's going on in Iraq and Syria there, has been given the acronym ISIS?
No.
Yeah, they're having it up this morning on the news. They kept saying ISIS, these...
they're invoking the Greek.
It's not the Taliban. It's ISIS.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think that reiterates what we were saying of you have to go into the darkness to find the light. You know, the fact that they're using, because I think so much of this terrorism is also a tool, and Iraq and Syria are clearly our scapegoats. You know, American scapegoats at the moment. So to pin ISIS to that, like you're saying, words are very powerful. So I can't think of a better thing to call it. Go ahead. Keep using that word. It's better than a lot of other words.
You know, that's a whole different view of it. And
right.
And you have a point. When you invoke a name, there's a consequence. It's an energy. There is a consequence, and maybe the consequence in this case, is going to turn out to be something very surprising.
And yeah, because I think about the story of Isis with Osiris and how, you know, when he was cut up into a million pieces and she went around and put them all back together, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of what we need right now in that area of the world.
You know what? The mother does come and she puts the father back together so that she can bear Heru,
yeah.
the hero, the son, the savior. The regeneration God. Oh my God, we went into mythology. We're doing some Joe Campbell, honey.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
The old teacher. but what you say is quite true. And also, it was Norman D. Ellison, who was a student of Jean Houston's, who wrote the story of Isis in such poetic but mythological and then common detail chronicled it. And The Passage of Isis, I believe, is the name of the book. And then with Houston's Passion of Isis and Osiris, we learn that it's all about the art of becoming. So what is becoming over there?
Mm.
You know, it's the ancient Egyptian, you know, Kapiri, the beetle, the Kepari, Keperu. It's the process of becoming. So something is becoming over there, and perhaps the blood is the bathing of something that is coming new, that is an awakening for the people. You never know how many folks are just going to say, I've had enough, and walk away from it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they've had their problems just like we've had our problems with, you know, Christianity or Islam. You know, there are people that are confused everywhere, and then there are plenty of people that either associate with those religions or not that are completely in the light as well.
Yes.
So I think it's their own cleansing like we're going through with ours as well, seeing the oneness, really, like that book, The Zealot. My mother had a book club, and they've been reading that book, and the conclusion they've come to is basically this meme or whatever you call them that I found on Facebook. It says, Buddha was not a Buddhist. Jesus was not a Christian. Muhammad was not a Muslim. They were teachers who taught love. Love was their religion.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm clapping.
it's really quite true. It's incredible that all of the suffering that has been placed beside it, and yet none of it was ever intended.
Yeah, it's a separation. It's just the confusion of separation. And I think that's where a lot of our protection comes from as well, like talking about trusting the force that we have around us and that's really, you know, most of us don't want to kill each other. It's governments that want to kill each other. Why? Because of the money, period. So whatever you're hearing, it's all geared up towards war so they can make money. It's not really, I don't think, what's really going on. I mean, look at New York City. There's millions of us from all over the world. And, you know, you'd think if you watch the news that New York City would just be a bloodbath, but clearly it's not at all.
Oh, not a bit.
Well, they are, a lot of them, where you're talking about Iraq, well, my news, horrible news, they are, they're leaving.
They're
leaving by droves.
Yeah, that happens when civil war breaks
out. Yeah,
because
they don't want it.
If there were millions of people, as there were thousands and thousands of people in the streets at one point with Occupy Wall Street, and you remember what the cops did to them on the bridge? I mean, will any of us forget how they slammed them, the cops slammed them down on the bridge and just began to arrest droves of people? And folks, of course, got the hell out of Dodge. They backed off because of the violence. And yet people responded on a global level, and certainly on a national level, people responded to that and said the police were wrong. And it happened over and over again in our cities, and it's happening over and over again still in European cities right now. Something's going to give.
Yeah, big time give.
But I think on a positive side,
it's
the people are talking to each other, and more information is getting out. And the idea that you can fool some of the people some of the time is waning, and you can't fool all of the people all the time, no matter how dark it looks, even with this open carry stuff where you see people that have guns strapped across their backs walking into restaurants. I mean, the restaurant chains now are banning people with guns from coming in.
Yeah, because people were getting up and leaving. I mean, that's, you know.
Ruining business.
Same thing with the countries. I mean, if everybody leaves, they've got no more power. They've got all this land, and it's just an echo, you know, tumbleweed. You know, I mean, you've lost everything. So that doesn't work for even the money machines. You know, it's the greatest thing you can do. Be like, F this, I am out.
It absolutely is. You can't, if you're going to approach life from the spiritual walk or to, let me put it this way, just to act in your own personal integrity, you don't have to call it spirit or religion or anything like that, but just to act from your own personal integrity, to be on the wrong side of humanity, to not have the moral value in sanctity of life, is becoming the wrong way to live.
Yeah.
You can see it happening all around. People are waking up to this. It's just getting that soundbite on television to get honest about people waking up and understanding that it's the leadership that's coming down with this for profiteering schemes kind of thing. Well, my point is it all comes back to the leadership thing, which means politics. And how can you stay quiet, you know?
And us waking up to our own power. Really, of, you know, do we really need someone to lead us? I mean, I think we gave up that power a while ago, and we thought, well, whatever, we'll have someone else take care of it. But now it's taking responsibility and ownership for yourself and your community and the people of the world. You know, it continues to extend. So again, it's going into the darkness so that we can find our light again. Apparently that's fun to us as spirits. We thought this would be a whole joy of a ride. Oh, it's great.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, you uploaded a piece by Abraham on self. Does that come to bear?
Oh, yeah.
Let me play that for the folks.
Nice.
Me where I want to go. So I'm now getting that creation isn't about asking Abraham or figuring out on my own how to manifest stuff. I'm understanding that creation is how to figure out how to hook in with the thought ways that take me to the road, that takes me in the direction of what I'm wanting to go. That my work in every moment is the creation of a thought now that hooks me up in the direction of where I want to go. I don't have to figure out how to build the whole highway or how to build the whole house or how to build the whole life or how to build the whole dream. I just have to figure out how to get on the highway moving in the right direction. I just have to find those just beginning pieces of it. And I know that they always feel good when I find them. I can find them by frivolously playing doodle jump. I can find them by taking a walk on the beach. I can find them by putting on my headphones and listening to music. I can find them by putting my feet in the water and looking at the clouds or the stars. In other words, I don't have to be hard after anything. All I have to do is hook up with the thought ways. And most of the effort that me and everybody else I know have been offering, the effort that I offer hooks me up with the wrong pathway. My effort is wrong-headed. It's my relaxing. It's my letting it go. It's my letting it be that hooks me up with the right pathway. So here I am. I'm all hooked up. I'm hooked up. I'm tuned in, tapped in, turned on. I can feel my alignment with Source. And now, in my alignment with Source, I think I would like to entertain myself, surprise and delight myself a little bit. I would like to enjoy myself by talking to myself about what a good creator I am. I think I will entertain myself with those pleasing thoughts that are so in sync with who I am right now in this moment. For example, I created, and I really liked it,
a beautiful child that I adopted.
Oh. I managed to come into vibrational alignment with someone who is at core a vibrational match to me without even giving birth to this child. Talk about the laws of the universe coming into sync for me. I'm really, really good at allowing well-being to flow to me in that way. There was no earning. There was just allowing it to be. And the universe knocked itself out big time in creating, in co-creating with me this magnificent thing. In fact, of all the things that I've created, this is my greatest triumph. I know that there will be more equal, but this is magnificent. I am so good at what I do. I am so good at what I do. I love co-creating with this universe who has all of the resources and all of the knowledge of everything I want and the knowledge of where everything is in relationship with me about everything that I want. I am in such good hands with these universal forces who guide me moment by moment, incrementally. Things are always working out for me. No matter what, things are always working out for me. Because in every moment, I'm even either contributing to the vortex or I'm lining up with it. Things are always working out for me. You see? What else? One more thing.
A career that has credits I'm very proud of.
Right there. What else?
A lovely husband who makes me laugh.
Big time. Big time alignment. Big time creation. Big time kudos to you. What else?
A circle of friends I adore.
And first in the hot seat. Good time for a segment of the show.
Thank you.
Where'd you find that?
In my travels on the YouTube.
I try to listen to Abraham at least a couple of times a week because I do find that she gets my head back in gear and out of the, oh, poor me crap.
Exactly. We're using everything we have.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like things are always working out. And that reminds me of my kid's sister who says, cut it out, Gwen. Don't do it. It always works out. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, the end, the period, the exclamation point to that whole thing is, and I think you're probably going to agree, keep the faith, have the faith, trust.
Yeah.
Trust. Yeah. Trust yourself. Trust everything that you desire, every intention that you have, all the things you wish to create and work towards, whatever inch or millimeter forward you get with it. Trust that because it always works out.
Absolutely.
It does. Even if you don't think it is, you just got to relook at it.
Yeah.
And it's happening for whatever reason. Maybe not how you think it's going to, but it's all for the right reason.
Trust.
Yeah.
Have the trust. That's an old hippie line. Keep the faith.
Yeah, but these, you know, the hippies were the first seed of what we're understanding now. This is the second time around, you know, in our recent history. And all those things now are making so much more sense. Like, why trust? Well, because the other way goes towards fear, which is towards the dark side, really. It's just a crappier road. And, you know, things are still working out, even if you go into the fear. But it's so much better and so much more fun if you can trust And also it helps that vibration along, and it helps the people around you. Everybody likes somebody who's hopeful and trusting.
That's true. Nobody likes to hear the bucket come out and the tears to go. And, you know, that gets pretty bad when it's a consistent. Yeah. And also, in the whole apex of that situation in the dark is that you're going to trigger all your miasmas in your light body, and you're going to dampen down all of your meridians. Your organs are going to stop working nicely. You're going to get sick.
That's true.
You're going to go down for the count, and you're going to die, man.
Well, cutting yourself off from source, things that are always working for you, but the only way they don't work for you so immediately is when you offer resistance and cut them off and say no. That's free will, man. We can always choose. Choose to be part of it, choose to be outside of it, but whatever. We'll love you no matter what.
It's quite true. It's quite true. So some of the tools, how do we, and even every one of us, and I don't care if it's Gandhi or if it's, you know, the Dalai Lama. You know, I've seen some of the Dalai Lama's recent videos. He's a jokester. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. You're still human. We're all part of the same clan. And the fear, that polarity, is our teacher. And it's also something that we're going to have in our back pocket no matter what, because it's part of the polarity that helps us to learn and grow. So learning how to deal, recognizing how fear approaches, you know, how does fear approach? How do we do that? How do we recognize it? And it's not because I'm not going to give up my technical side. I'm not going to walk away from being the activist. I'm not going to. How then do I mold myself so that I transmute this negativity that is necessarily there to put the flag up and say something has to change, the learning and growing, that polarity? How do I begin to recognize that it's there and to transmute it and thereby learn the lesson myself and reflect it back? Did that make sense?
Absolutely. What do you think, Jeffrey?
No, I agree with her.
Yeah, for sure.
How do we see it? How do we see it coming? I probably could say if you start to get irritated when you see somebody walking towards you, that's a big red flag.
It happens every day.
It's the little things, right?
Yep.
But really, it is the little things. It is the little things. We have to, we don't have to. Let me rephrase that. Recognizing that our behavior pattern, and this is where flower essences can help so much, recognizing the behavior pattern that allows us to jump to the fear side, recognizing that, becoming aware of why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep doing that? That's the issue right there. That's the nodule in your nadi that's feeding your life force into your body. That's the nodule. That's the demon attached to you out there. You know, that's the little devil on your shoulder that keeps saying, I got you now. Here comes, you know, whatever. And you don't like it because you're going to have to deal with it. It's like, okay, I don't have the money to pay the bill, but what, you know, it can be that. It can be that nodule. Or it could be just reading something that you don't like and disagreeing with it instead of jumping to an angry rebuttal saying, well, okay, I can walk by that. I can walk by that. I can still appreciate that that person is going through whatever they're going through, or the issue itself that they're reflecting is happening, but I don't have to buy into it. Can it be that? That's simple.
I think that's the first step for sure. Recognition. Just
understanding.
That,
yeah.
You
know.
Just knowing and acknowledging the fact that an alarm has gone off.
Carrying lots of different gemstones in your pockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
That helps too. We have all these wonderful tools that'll help us to tap in to the new patterns we want to set. And of course, listening to good advice or positive reinforcement. Still, the polarity is going to be there, and it's something we're going to walk with as long as we're human. And I got a little sneaky peek feeling. This is just a sneaky peek feeling, okay? But I got this feeling the fifth dimension is going to offer something comparable. What do you think?
Wow. Comparable how? What do you mean?
Well, if there's how many more dimensions to rise through,
mm-hmm.
I mean to tell you, we're already working in the fourth, and that's where we get the polarity play out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that when we get to the fifth dimension, sure, there's the music of the spheres, but don't you think a few harsh notes get cracked every now and then from the fifth dimension? Mm-hmm. Is every Palladian a good guy?
Right. Well, I think maybe that's step two is the allowing. Allowing whatever to be, especially when you see something that's messed up. I mean, I have a family member that is, you know, in a battle with somebody, and it's really her own fault. But she constantly posts these, you know, nasty messages to this person because apparently this is the only way that, like, he gets talked to. But, you know, when asked any kind of logistical thing of, you know, did you take him to court or any of this, like, we haven't gotten a straight answer. So, you know, this is a family member. And so I, you know, at first when I would read these things, I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Like, you're going in the wrong direction. And I did say something like, listen, hate is never the answer. And she was like, please remove your post. So I was just like, all right.
Love will set you free.
Right? I mean, really, I was like, just let it be, Nicole. This is her path. She has chosen it clearly. So you can either feel all kinds of things about it or just let it happen. And so I just don't comment one way or the other, but I see it. And now it's like watching a soap opera.
Is this her ex-boyfriend or?
It's someone she lended money to, and it was a lot of money, and he didn't pay her back, and he's some sort of playboy dude.
That's never a good thing.
It's a mess from the get-go.
Especially if there's a little sexual attraction there.
Probably.
Yeah. Ooh, my little heart. Ow, ow, ow.
So it's the greatest soap opera you can read, you know, so I just have to distance myself from the fact that this is someone that I love, but you know what? She wouldn't do it if she didn't love it and there wasn't something in it that she's getting out of this experience. So allowing her and anyone else to do whatever they need to do, I think that's part of, you know, if we're going to survive on the fifth dimension, I think it's going to have to be a lot of, oh, okay, so that also happened.
We all have to fall to get up.
Right.
I hear you. It's like what April say, you know, three steps forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the multidimensional level.
A mile back.
Yeah, the taking your time, I'll bring that up. I might talk about that on Monday, but it's something that's come up in this past week that when I take my time and really allow myself the time to process anything, just even small things, like what do you want to eat? What are we going to do for the next hour? Whatever. Just taking my time with everything that I do, I'm actually able to move forward quicker and things happen more seamlessly. And this is coming from someone, I'm an Aries, I'm a very impatient person. You know, I talked about planting seeds and I planted and within hours, I'm like, you doing anything? that's just me. Grow, are you grown? So, but I have to accept the fact and allow the fact that that is part of me and laugh at myself, as well as learning that it's the paradox. Going slower helps you to move forward more quickly. So, and you don't get caught up because you're not already moving at a clip where, you know, you find something that's like, you know, offensive or you don't like, and you're already moving at a clip. You just start moving in their shadow at a clip. I think, you know, giving ourselves more time and realizing that's the fourth dimension thing, isn't it? The time, the duration, different concepts.
That is an illusion, but right. The point is well taken. What you're really saying is breathe. Just breathe. That can be the catch before you react, before you allow that miasma to bloom up again.
Yes.
Breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, and think about it. Just take your time.
Yes.
That's very good advice.
Very good.
Because we're so reactionary, I've never met a human being that wasn't reactionary. Have you?
No.
I mean, even especially Kenny.
Kenny is the most even-keeled man I've ever met.
Well,
he is. He, if you ever met him, he is like peace and tranquil. I mean,
yeah, he is.
I've been with him for 12 years, and we've only gotten in 3 fights.
Wow.
I mean, you know, blowout fights, you know, where the doors shake. But he's calm as a cucumber. He is.
Yeah, he is. But, you know, we never know sometimes what's going on deep down. And that's where the real stuff is. Like, I've sat and kept a smile on my face. I mean, I used to have to go to family dinners. Okay.
Should be good.
would screech his silver, his knife on the china, and it would make this horrible sound. And you could see me shiver when it happened, and he did it just because it happened. It's just like we are reactionary people. But I smiled. I would just smile.
I could just imagine.
Oh, God. Little Gwen.
Oh, great. Little Spitfire sitting at the table.
Like a fourth dimensional side of that. I'd be sitting there. The horns would be growing. Tail would come out. And I would get up out of the body and walk out front and stick a candy bar in his gas tank. I did it once.
You're such a good daughter.
I know. Snickers for you.
Son of a bitch. But he did teach me how to be a good captain.
Funny what family puts you through.
It's right.
That's where we're learning all our fears.
Yes.
All of our torment. They would have just told us when we were little, look into the light. Funny.
Most of our issues are bedrock in our childhood experience.
Yes,
I agree. Incidentally, as an aromacologist, I would tell you, too, the scents that you smell to this day. Everybody, you know how everybody loves bacon?
Yeah.
What?
Screeching knife on china.
Why do people have the cement smell in a basement?
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
And nobody likes that smell in the basement. But I'd love that. If they could make that into a fragrance, I'd wear it. You know, and it was just because I was in the basement away from my family.
Oh,
basement, sure.
Yeah.
Talk about protection. Get away.
But the point is that, you know, if we can travel, boy, we now see spirit is working here. And I've got my EMF running, so
there's a lot of those thoughts.
Yeah, if we could travel that quickly, but you know, humor is, of course, some of the best medicine in the world. So, I wish I could bottle this stuff.
Yeah. Right. Work on a laughter potion, Gwen. Wouldn't that be great if you just sprayed it in your face and you could just have a giggle?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
They do make you smile.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, they do.
They make you, like, in the morning before I leave and I'm doing my little gig, you know, with my smell, you know, my oils and everything. It puts a smile on my face. And
well, that's wonderful.
It does.
Yeah. No,
and
I
love your stuff.
Well, I used to use sweetgrass that way. And if I just somehow, I probably ran out or something along the way and just, that's a good idea. Remember that. By the way, folks, this show is brought to you by Daughters of Isis Makers and daughtersofisis.com. You can travel on over there and see what we have for you. Everything is through the lens of culture, all indigenous sense. Check us out. And please remember on Monday evenings at, it's 7 p.m., isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. Nicole Tomasini and Spirit Therapy. Now, is Diane working with you or not with that?
She just came on for the one, but, you know, I'm sure she'll make a guest appearance again. Yeah. And by the way, I feel the need to plug one of your oils for this week because it's been, you know, when something gives the same result for weeks on end, you know, you have to really speak of it. And it's the Palo Santo. If you're any kind of healer, you might like this too, Jeffrey, after you're done with seeing all those people at your salon for the healing afterwards. I find it as a great just modifier and cleansing back into the moment for the healing person. I use it after my show, after any kind of spirit therapy session, after anything that's been a healing, I spray it and it's great. Sets the standard again for light. How about that?
Ooh, that is so nice. Thank you. Palo Santo is a scent that is supposed to, you know, bring you back into yourself and clarify and dust off all the cobwebs and all of the negativity and just set you right again. So,
what it does.
Jeffrey likes the Uka Pacha.
I love
it. It's based in cacao. It's a chocolate scent.
Ooh.
And it does calm you. It makes you clear. And it makes, you know, like with me, it makes me, you know, be able to schmooze and be the Jeffrey I need to be for, you know, clients, you know, hair. Makes me more creative.
Wow. That's nice. Well, it's you going into you.
Yeah.
Smooth. Smooth like chocolate mousse.
We are at the top of the hour, dude.
Awesome. Great. I hope you come on again, Jeffrey. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, and it's been really nice talking with you.
And thank you for taking care of our Gwen.
Well,
yes.
It's not hard to do, you know? It just isn't.
Yeah, nice. I agree.
Well, thank you, guys. That's our show for today. And remember, we're here every Saturday at 3 p.m. And got any last messages, Nick?
I was just thinking of the song that I played for the Dark Side and the Force. If you wanted to play out with that Lana Gods and Monsters, I think it's a great thing to play us out.
Okay. Is it got Nick ahead of it?
Yep.
I'm looking for it.
She says, in the land of gods and monsters, I was an angel living in the garden of evil. So,
okay, I got that. And
it's a good book in the Garden of Evil.
It was. I'm looking for it, and I can't find it.
All right, well, then maybe not.
Okay,
well, now they know. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. way. It's funny.
And that's the show for today. Thank you for listening. This has been The Consciousness Shift. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Gwen. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You still there, Nick?
Yeah, I am.
That was good.
Yeah, I think I fucked up, though.
That was a good little animated movie. What was The Ice Queen?
Frozen.
Yeah, Frozen. You played a 45-year-old man watching Frozen.
Nice, that was a good one, you know, for when you can't find the thing, just let it go, you know, perfect for Mercury retrograde. I think that was...